This mimer was delivered by the Rebbe, Shabbos Parshas Kiseitse, on the 14th day of Elul, in the year Tavshim Hei, which is approximately 1985. Kiseitse la mochama aleivecha. The mimer begins with the first pasuk that opens the parsha. When you go out to war on your enemy, unesane Hashem alikecha biyadecha, Almighty God gives the enemy over into your hands, Vishavisa Shivyei, and you are successful in capturing a captive. That's more or less literal translation. V'yedua diyuk Rabbi Sein Nisiyenu Bazeh. The precise analysis of these words from the Rabbeim in the Maimarim, primarily in Eirat Heira, the Tzemach Tzedek, is known. Mahu diyuk haloshen alei vechadaikim. The assumption always is that the Torah's language is very precise and exact. So if the Torah says something which seems to be out of sorts grammatically, it's because there's a message that's being conveyed. The L'cha'era, on the surface, seemingly, Hayamasim yeser ha'loshen imeivecha, oy be'ayvecha. The Torah says when you go out to war, al'ayvecha. Al'ayvecha means on your enemies. But that's not the typical frame of speech. It should have said, when you go to war with your enemy. With your enemy, in Hebrew, would either be im oivecha or bi oivecha. But instead of saying go to war with your enemy, it says go to war on your enemy. That's strange. Mahu al oivecha. What is the Torah trying to tell us when it describes going to war in a very unusual way? That's number one. Gam medaikim, this is the major diuk. Gam medaikim, another precise and exact analysis includes also other questions. Bameh, shakof ala kosav leima v'shavisa shivye. The pasuk elects to say something which seems at least redundant. At least it seems redundant, if not totally unnecessary. Because it says v'shavisa. Vishavisa means when you capture. And then it says, Shivyoi, you capture a captive. Well, obviously, if you captured, then that's a captive. That's obvious. How could you capture a non-captive? And if you're capturing a captive, doesn't that happen afterwards? Did you become a captive later?
Like, it suggests the person was a captive before.
It suggests, exactly. Mashmosa Inyan, the intimation is, that which is taken from the enemy, vishavisa, shavisa means taken from the enemy, captured. It was already a captive. So it was a captive that was captured. You don't capture a captive. Incidentally,
you also go to war against your friends either. So why does it say that? It's obvious that you're going to war against your enemy.
That's an interesting question. It's obvious that you go to war always with your enemy. You never heard of friendly fire?
Yeah, but it's not a war. You're not warring against friendly fire.
Friendly fire can be understood in two ways. Friendly fire can be understood. That's a mistake.
Inadvertent, yeah.
It's inadvertent. But friendly fire can also be that sometimes friends fight.
Then they're enemies. They're not friends.
They're not really enemies.
They're warring against each other.
I understand.
Trying to kill each other. They're enemies.
All right.
I think.
That's not such a strong diuk.
They might have been.
You got a war with your enemy. Okay, fine. One could say that there are foolish wars, which are not even fought with enemies. Why did the United States fight with Vietnam? Why did they go to war in North Korea? Was it really with an enemy? Was World War I really with enemies? What did France do to Germany? What did Russia do to Austria?
They were warring against each other for 1,000 years.
Okay, so it's not really going to war against your enemy. So there's wars and there's wars. When the Torah says go to war against your enemy, it's just describing what's called a normal war, or a war that makes sense. No war really makes sense, but you're going to war with your enemy. Okay, I understand you're going to war with your enemy.
There's two types of wars, mandatory and voluntary.
Yes. All right, let's stick to the text and try to move through this. So why do we have this? The question number one, alei vecha. Question number two, what's v'shavisa shivya? Because it sounds like you capture a captive already. That it was already, what would that mean? that this captive was already captive. He was captured by the enemy first. It's almost like you recaptured. There was a captive that was recaptured, or something or somebody that was recovered. That itself needs to be understood.
Is that liberation?
The lechayra, that would be liberation, and lechayra lekeinu derech hamachamis. That's not manner of war. What's taken from the enemy, the shavisha, who davar shahaya shayach la'oyev, is something that really belonged to the enemy. If you liberated it, you liberated something that always belonged to you. But that's not real, that's not to really capture in war. The spoils of war are things you didn't own before. That's the nature of spoils in war. Spoils in war are not what you had, but you lost. Most people don't go to war only to retake what was theirs. They go to war to capture something. Only Israel goes to war, retakes what was always its, and gets called occupiers. But what's normal in the world is when there's a war and there's a victor, so the victor takes that which it won, and that's it. There's no questions. It's a war, and that's life.
Maybe it's war. Maybe it's a reference to the slaves of the enemy. Could be considered captives.
If it was slaves of the enemy, it should say avadim, not captives. At any rate, it's an unwieldy fit. It's not a natural fit. I'm not saying it couldn't be, but it's not the natural manner of speaking. Why scratch your left ear with your right hand? That's just backwards. That's circuitous. It's unnecessary. There's a straightforward, easy way to say this. If there's an easy way to say this, you should say it the easy way, not the hard way. If the Torah chooses the strange, circuitous, or difficult way, unwieldy way to say it, there must be some kind of message being conveyed to us. So we're not asking the questions for the sake of asking questions. We're trying to discover a deeper message. And the way you can often discover a deeper message is, by means of my present understanding, this seems unwieldy. It seems awkward. So what does that tell me?
Dig deep.
It means my understanding is not correct. Because if it says it in Torah, it cannot be awkward. Awkward is a toxin. It's a negative. The Torah has no negativity. Awkward is imperfect. The Torah is perfect. Torah is Hashem Tamima. So if Torah is Hashem Tamima, if the Torah is perfect, and the language employed is awkward or imperfect, it tells me I don't get it. Okay, so then what is the point? We also have to understand that the Rebbe says the Ma'ariv the Hemshchak Suvim. There's this business with the beautiful woman Gilchas Reisha, Asa Sipornea. This whole business of then Bachsa Savia. She has to weep for her father and mother Yerech Yomim. So what does it all mean? Besides its literal incarnation. V'nekudas habir b'zeh. So as the Rebbe often did in the Maimarim of the later years, he would introduce a nekuda. He would say, okay, here's the kernel. Here's the basic thrust of what the Rabbeim have developed. And then he would go into details and add nuances. So what's the thrust? The nekuda sabir. The nekuda sabir in this specific question is the inyan kiseitzi l'amolchama, that this notion of going to war, who gam hayra l'kol echad v'echad miyisrael. It is not only psukim, verses about war, but rather, these are verses that are an instruction. This is a hayra to each and every single yid. U'b'chol hazmanim, and in all times. Shaharei, kol ha-teira, the entirety of the teira. She'inyana hu hayra, the teira, whose defining hallmark is hayra. Hayra means instructions. Teira, milshein hayra. The whole idea of teira, as the Pashtoni Hamikra explained, the word Torah comes from the word, it's a permutation of the word Hayra'a. Torah is an instruction. So since the Torah is an instruction, who is it an instruction to? The answer is, it's an instruction which is relevant in its entirety. It's a Mayrasha Kehilas Yankiv. It is the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. In other words, these are instructions. These are instructions that were given, so to speak, as an inheritance to every single yid. Now, the nature of inheritance is you don't have to be smart, you don't have to be capable, you don't have to be intelligent, you have to be an inheritor. You're alive. That's all. As long as you're in that position and you're alive, it's yours. You can be a baby that's an hour old, and he can legally own half the world. But he doesn't own anything. Well, he does. Legally, he's the owner. Is it possible that people will steal from him? It's possible. The baby can't defend himself. But the reality is that if that baby is an only child and his parents die, then that baby inherits everything. Not part of it, all of it. So nobody dies here to give us the Torah. That's a different faith system. Nobody has to die for us. The point is, if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, he gave it to us in a manner of inheritance. A manner of inheritance means that whoever we are, regardless of what our background is or what our capability is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this Torah, then it's relevant, then it's meaningful. The whole Torah belongs to each and every one of us. Now, if the whole Torah belongs to each and every one of us, then what logically follows is that it has to be something which is relevant for all of us. Otherwise, how could you say it's an inheritance for all of us? It's not an inheritance, it's an inheritance for some of us. If the Torah is only speaking to a specific element, to a specific set of circumstances, then it's only relevant for that element or that set of circumstances at that particular time. And that, by definition, makes it un-Torah. Because the whole Torah is Meirah Shekilas Yankiv. So if it's not Meirah Shekilas Yankiv, it's not relevant for the entirety of the Jewish people, then it's not Torah. There's something missing in its definition of as Torah. So therefore, the Torah was nitna b'Yerusha l'kol echad v'echad m'Yisrael. The Torah is given to everybody. U'mikivan shahateira, he Torah's chayim. The Torah is not only a Yerusha. The Torah is also a Torah of life. Torah's chayim, it's called. How do you move on? It's understood. Shekol in yonim v'zeh, that everything related to this, koilel gama inyan d'chiseitzila mochama, including the verses that speak about the unsavory reality of war, that's a lesson for each and every single Yid. How is that the Nekudas Abir? What is the explanation? The Rebbe asked a bunch of questions. He quoted various diyukim, precise and detailed analyses of the Rabbeim. And he said the Nekudas Abir is that Torah is relevant.
Good to know.
How does that explain? How is that the Abir? And then, after quoting the Nekudas Abir, as the Rebbe often does in the Maamarim of the 80s, after saying the Nekudas Abir, then the Rebbe says, "Now, Ubir Inya, now I'm going to explain this to you. Now I'm going to fill in the details." One second. What was the explanation? The Rebbe did not address the concept of war. He did not address the concept of Oyev, enemy. He didn't talk about the concept of Shivya. So I think the answer is very simple. That's very simple. The question was, the language that's being used is unwieldy and awkward. Why is it awkward? Because when you talk about a war, you just go to enemy, you go to war with your enemy. You don't go to war on your enemy. That's the way it is. You go to war with an enemy. When you go to war, you capture things. You don't capture captives. You capture things. So what's the answer? The answer is that if this was only talking about the technical realities of war, it would indeed be awkward. But in fact, it isn't. Because it's Torah, it's talking to each and every one of us. Because it's Torah, it's a lesson in life for everybody. So if it's a lesson in life for everybody, if that's what it is, that's how it has to be written. So therefore, since that's what it is, it's written in a way which lends itself to the notion, not of a person who actually literally goes to war, but rather it's written in a manner that speaks to every single Yid in every single time, regardless of what station of life he or she occupies. That's the answer. Your question was, this is awkward language for war. On a technical level, what's the Nekudas Habir? It's not talking about war. But it is. It's not. Because if it was only talking about war, it would be speaking to soldiers in a time of battle, who are going to war under a particular set of circumstances. And that invalidates the vast majority of the Jewish people over the vast majority of ages. It means that this portion of Torah is not relevant to most Jews. But then it can't be Torah. So if it's a question of should it be Torah or should it be an accurate description of war, what are we going to go for? Obviously, it should be Torah, not an accurate description of war. So it's only awkward because you chose to look at this intuitively. That is what it says. Literally. You took it at face value, literally. But the Torah cannot be taken only literally. Of course, it is also literal. And of course, you cannot take the psukim, you cannot misconstrue the verses from the literal iteration. But if that's your perspective on Torah, the Torah is just talking about a question, a collection of literal and technical hard details, you miss the point.
But it doesn't explain how it applies to...
Understood. How it applies, we'll talk about it in a minute. But the first question was, the language is awkward. What's the answer? The language is not awkward. The language is not awkward. Why is it not awkward? What is the Taka saying? Okay, hold your horses. So now we'll see. Now we'll see what exactly it's saying. But the first explanation is, it's not awkward because the only reason you thought it was awkward is because you thought it was talking about a literal iteration primarily. Now that you find that it's not talking about a literal iteration primarily, so automatically the questions fall away. Then what's left for us to understand is, what is the message? Okay, obira. So then let's explain. So what is the message? So let's understand this idea of going out to war. In the manner that speaks to each and every one of us, in Aveda, in our service to Hashem. We are actually here as Avdi Hashem. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve Hashem. So if we're here to serve Hashem, let's talk about serving Hashem. How does this form an instruction? How does this become a roadmap? How does this shed light in our journey of Avedas Hashem? So hine, teichen melchama zoi ba'avedas ha'adam. The content or meaning of this particular war, insofar as it addresses the aveda, the efforts and toil that a person came to planet Earth to make, Masha Adam tzarech lichbeish esinyani ha'olam, that we were all tasked with a war. What's the war? The war is we have to capture. That's what wars are about. They're about capturing. So people want to capture land, or people want to capture resources. Why have people gone to war over the ages? There's wars of self-defense. They went to war to survive. And then this is not the case. This is actually a Bachemes HaRashus. This is an elective war. So why would you go to war? They would go to war because they decided that their land mass has to be bigger. They want to expand the country. They go to war because they want to have new resources. They don't feel that the country has enough resources. So they said to the neighboring country, okay, you have enough oil. We're going to go to war to take your oil, which you may or may not like. But that's the reality of military politics. That's what's going on. So, of course, that's very negative. And a person should not go to war to capture the material, the physical. That's not what life's about. But life is about serving Hashem. And because there's a reality in human anthropology called war, it must have an alter ego. It must have a different perspective, a dimension on a spiritual level. Our job is to capture in Yoni Elam. What should we do when we capture different details of the mundane reality? What we should do is, we should say some Kelim Lelikus. We'll talk about that soon. We'll talk about capturing sparks in a minute. But the first thing is that we should modify the world. We should, in a sense, conquer, vanquish. We should make something which seemed innately not to lend itself to God's presence or to the revelation of divinity in this world, which should instead lend itself to revealing Hashem. It should become a vehicle, an envelope, a prism through which God's light is revealed rather than concealed, which is counterintuitive, because olam, world, comes from the word helam, concealment. Since that's the war that's being talked about here, since this is the battle of life, so to speak, when a person sets forth to conquer the concealment, to conquer the mundane reality, to redirect, to sublimate the world or the substance of the physical material existence. La seise kelila lekos, to make it a vessel, to make it a vehicle that will express rather than conceal godliness. So the first thing is sadechu l'das. The first thing you have to know is shu b'matziv shel al oyvecha. The first thing you need to know is you're not going to war with an equal. This is not a battle with an enemy. This is a battle over an enemy. Al means on or over. In other words, l'mayla me'evecha. You have the advantage. In every situation, you have the advantage. Very important for you to know that. How could that? How could you say that? Very simple. Since this going to war, I didn't go to war because I want to go to war. I go to war because Hashem tells me to go to war. Since it's alpi tzivi ha-teira, ki seitze, going out, the Torah said this. What does that mean? That it's an instruction of the Torah. That means haynu b'koyach ha-teira. That means by dint or power of the Torah. Lefichach, ein elu shnei tzadim shavim haleichmim zem ze. Therefore, these are not two equal sides that are now going to square off and do battle with one another, but rather, you start off with the advantage. You are over your enemy. You start off dominating your enemy. How so? Well, think about it. Who created the world? What's the source of the world's nourishment? What's the source of the world's continued existence? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Almighty God. So the same God that created the world, that same God told you to conquer it. In other words, you're coming with the power of the boss. The boss told you conquer it. If the boss told you conquer it, so then ultimately you're not here on your own, you come with a higher power. Imagine, if you will, that a person is brought into a company to be structured. And there's many employees and a lot of politics. That's why he was brought in. And there's people who are redundant, jobs that are being done twice, and the company's not it's not good. There's got to be a major overhaul over here. So when the people were fighting, the different employees were fighting, and they all had their own minutia and politics and trying to undermine one another, they were on an equal playing field. But then somebody came in who was not on an equal playing field because he was not an employee like all the other employees. He is representing the boss. The boss says, I want a full report, and you have the right to slash any jobs you want because at the end of the day, this company's got to make a living. This company's got to make a profit. I'm not here to give charity, says the boss. I'll give charity. I want to give charity. The company, I run like a business. So you don't come in as an equal. You come in as the boss. You represent the boss. If you come representing the boss, so then you have an advantage. This doesn't mean there's not going to be a battle on your hands.
You're going to win.
But you're going to win. Exactly. So this is what the Yiras know. You are going to win this battle as long as you want to. Because you have the Koyach HaTorah. You're going to tell me that the Rashi in the beginning of the Parsha says, Shabbat Mechemes HaRashus HaKasav Medaber. You told me this is a commandment of Torah. You told me that they're doing this by virtue of the Torah's instruction. But it's not. It's Mechemes HaRashus. It's an elective war. It's not a mandated war. It's not a war which I'm told to. It's not a war which I'm forced to fight. It's a war which I'm allowed to fight. So if it's a war which I'm allowed to prosecute rather than a war that I'm instructed, how does that fit with this idea that the war is alpi tzivi ha-teira, by the command of teira, or b'koyach ha-teira? The yeshleimar, that's not a question, because we could easily understand pirushe b'avedis adam, what this means in avedis adam. The koi, that it refers to kibush in yonei rishus shaba'ilam. It refers to conquering the arenas or areas of life which are within the realm of permissibility. Meaning, there are certain things the Torah mandates. It's a Torah mandate. It's not something I can elect to do. It's something I'm obligated to do. So if I'm obligated to do it, I have to do exactly what the Torah says. No option. I have to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. That's a commandment from the Torah. I must eat that kezias of matzah. No, I do not have to eat dinner tonight. Well, actually, tonight's Shabbos, maybe I do. But the point is that on a regular night, I don't have to eat dinner. I can choose to eat dinner. It might be a very good idea to eat dinner, but I don't have to eat dinner. So I choose to do so. Okay, so if a Jew chooses to do so, so that's not really a battle that he's ordained to do. He's not told he has to do this. The Rebbe says, one second. That's not really true. Because when it comes to Avedas Hashem, there's this idea that we serve Hashem idea Aveda in the manner of serving, and our servitude to God is Ba'ifen in the method of Chol Ma'asecha, all of your actions, which are in Yonei Rishus, Ma'asecha, not Ma'ase Hashem. It's not God's things, it's your things, your deeds. All in Yonei Rishus Yihyu L'Shem Shamayim should be performed for the sake of heaven, as it says in Perek Beis of Maseches Avos. And then we have a verse of the scripture, which is in Mishlei, B'chol Drachecha, in all of your ways, once again, Yonei Rishus, It's your ways, not Hashem's ways. It's not Derech Hashem, it's Drachecha. But Bechol Drachecha, and all of your ways, Do'ehu, know him, know Hashem. So the Torah itself instructs you to go on this elective war. The Torah itself says, you need to eat dinner? Well, why do you need to eat dinner? So I did dinner because I got to eat. I don't eat, I get crazy. Okay, so if I need to, that's ma'asecha, that's my thing. The Torah says, ko ma'asecha, all of your things, like eating dinner, is to be l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. So I got to go there. Why do you got to go there? Is it saying the Torah you have to go there? So I got to go there because I got to go there. Why? Why? Because I got to. Oh, so it's whose way is that? That's drachecha, that's your way. You have to. 1 second. The Torah itself says that if you have to go there, how should you go? Do'ehu. Knowing him, finding Hashem there. So you cannot say that Mechemes Rishus means that since the Torah doesn't mandate this, it's not part of Avedis Hashem. That itself is Avedis Hashem.
It is mandated.
It's just mandated in a manner that leaves you the freedom of how to carry this out. You're not given exact instructions. And one might argue that that is the greater form of Avedis Hashem. Mm. The Friedrich Rebbe once asked a young person to go on Shlichus to some mission. And those missions were not fun. And many people never came home from those missions. But the Friedrich Rebbe sent them on. It's a tragic reality. So he said to the Rebbe, I'm prepared to go on any mission you want, at any risk, but tell me exactly what to do. Give me exact instructions. As long as you give me exact instructions, I will do it and I'll carry out the Shlichus 100%. So the Rebbe responded in a manner which was less than enthusiastic. The Rebbe said, Eret v'anokye p'yetchke t'yingle, which is Russo-Yiddish for you sound like a spoiled brat. You want to get exact instructions. It doesn't work like that. What's your instructions? Go there and build Yiddishkeit. What exactly should I do on Monday morning? Figure it out. So there's a certain beauty in the non-instructed kind of mission. Instructed mission is a person with no creativity. When you want to hire somebody, you don't want to hire somebody who just knows how to follow instructions. That's important, to follow instructions. But if all they can do is just follow instructions exactly, oh, you fay. Don't you get to follow instructions? Do you have any fuzzy logic? What are you, a computer or something, a robot? Figure it out. And when a person figures it out and does a really good job, they say, wow, that's great. Shikoyach, amazing. So that's what Hashem says to us. Figure it out. I know I created you with a growling stomach. I know I created you with needs. Physical, chemical, biological needs. So what should you do? Find a way to serve Hashem with those needs. Find a way that those needs should become a bridge or a vehicle through which I'm able to reach greater communion and oneness with Hashem, make the world a better place. So this is a person who has to know, it's not only a question of fighting his inner demons in Yom Kippur, who are screaming, go have something to eat, and his Yom Kippur says, I can't have something to eat. That's a direct instruction. But even if he'll be in a situation where he's being yelled in the nefesh abamas, animal souls, screaming at him, go and eat the food that's not kosher. I can't eat the food that's not kosher. Torah says specifically, I can't do that. But even if we'll be in a situation where the food might be kosher, it's just not appropriate to eat like a glutton. But all of your biological reality is screaming, don't enjoy yourself, just have fun, forget about God for the next half hour, and just have some you time. And the person says, I'm not supposed to have you time. There's only God time. It's all about the Eibishter. It's created L'shamash Shiskaini. So there's a battle. That battle, that's also from the Torah. That battle is also from Hashem. And you have to know that in that situation, you are also al oivecha, meaning l'mayla min ha'oyev shenilchamim, you stand at an advantage over the enemy with whom you are now battling. D'mikivan shagam avaydase, v'inyani harashut. Since this aveda, in the arena of the permissible, the elective, since that itself is al pi Torah, since that is by virtue of the Torah's approach to things, u'kadiyuk haloshen hakosav medaber, and the exact language that's being referred to us here, that this pasuk, this idea is being conveyed in with reality of Mechemes Rishus, of an elective war. In other words, Shagam Mechemes Rishus, that even in a situation where you elect rather than are forced or mandated to do this battle, or so it would seem, which is the birur, the refinement of Inyani Rishus. The key word here is refinement. Refinement means that you have positive elements that's mixed with negative elements. And I have to refine the situation. I have to bring out the good part. I have to get rid of the bad stuff. So I'm going to sit down to I want to use vegetables in my kitchen. I have to trim off the hard part of the onion, the dry part of the vegetable. I got to trim it off, trim it away, and then I have to work on it and refine it and use various methods of heat and various methods of pulverization and various methods of slicing and dicing, and then adding all kinds of spices. And then what was just a bland pepper all of a sudden becomes a delicacy. How? You went to war with the pepper. You really beat up this pepper. And when you finished beating up the pepper, he wasn't just a pepper. Now he was some kind of, I'll think of a fancy French name of whatever it is. And now he's like something that graces a plate, and they can, ratatouille, okay, and they could charge you, and they could charge you $65 in a fancy restaurant for, it's just a pepper.
Yeah.
Not anymore. Why? Because you have vanquished the pepper. You have transformed the pepper.
Capture the captive.
Gam bo ha-kosev medaber. The Torah was talking about that pepper too. Gam melcham ezoi hi aleivecha. In those battles, you're also over your enemy. L'may l'min ha'oiv. Val yidei sha'yitzia l'melchama. When you go out to war, in other words, your attitude, your approach to begin with is, sha'odam yoideya, that the person knows. It's all about attitude. What do I know? I know that I'm aleivecha. I know this is not an equal playing field. I know that I am always in the advantage position. So if I have the high ground, harigam nitzochen shayidei zeh obeifim yuchad, then the victory is also different. It's nitzochen beifim shlatzlocha. It is a successful war. It's not a feirik victory where everything is lost and in the end, you know, the last person standing is the victor, but it's not much of a victor. Why? Because I have what's called motivation. And this is what armies struggle with, to motivate the soldiers. Morale. When the troops' morale sags, the war sags. Keep the morale up. You have to fan the flames of the morale. If there's no morale, you cannot fight a war. You cannot prosecute. Moshe's hands have to stay up. Okay. That's a loaded comment. But the point is, the first thing a Yid needs is morale. And this is what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that he says in order for a person to be successful in his wrestling with the evil, he has to be besimcha, he has to be with joy. Because if he's not in a state of joy, if he doesn't serve Hashem with joy, he's not going to be successful. So Reb Nachman Breslov had a different approach to life. Reb Nachman, who probably, according to records, seems he battled with depression. So he always talked about simcha, always trying to overcome sadness. So he said it's a mitzvah gedolah liyos besimcha. You have to be with joy. And they made a whole jingle about it with the mitzvah gedolah. Where does it say it? It's one of the Nachman's tales. The Alter Rebbe never says those words. He never says mitzvah gedolah liyos besimcha. He says if you want to serve Hashem, you have to be besimcha. Plain and simple. If you're not going to be in a state of joy, if you won't serve Hashem besimcha to levav, you won't be able to serve Hashem successfully. Plain and simple. The virtue, the value is not in the joy itself. The battle can't be won without joy. End of story. Therefore, there has to be joy. So that's the attitude of aleivecha. That's the meaning of aleivecha. You go prosecute that war with a sense of confidence, with the knowledge that you are aleivecha. And the truth is, there's much more to talk about, but we are so out of time. So,
continue,
let's go to war. L'chaim.